Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and around.
484 suspect, female, Hispanic, 28 years of age.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of On the Legal Side, a radio program sponsored by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. Check them out today at privateofficer.com. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College. And we want to welcome each and every one of you to this edition, as today we're talking about a very important topic. This is something that actually comes up frequently, and we've run into this problem consistently, I would say, for the last 30 years, maybe longer. Definitely now with the association, we get a lot of both members and non-members who want to know the facts about 1099. Now, I'm sure that many of you have heard that terminology. You may even know what it is. Maybe you've even received it or used it when making payments to others. But there really is a lot of confusion across the board, depending on who you talk to, about what a 1099 is. And so today, while there are many different uses for a 1099, we're basically going to target, we're basically going to look at using 1099s for subcontractors. And we're going to address the issue of whether or not private security officers, agents, bouncers, or security companies can even become subcontractors. We're also going to talk about some of the legal issues, the liability issues, and we're going to address a recent ruling by the court and by IRS code, which clearly defines what a 1099 is to be used for and who cannot receive one. A lot of times in the security industry, we find ourselves in a position where we need to make extra money. And I know myself, young into the industry many years ago, I had even thought about contracting myself out to construction sites who were being hit repeatedly for theft of materials and vandalized, but I was in a regulated state, a regulatory state, and I quickly found out that was not possible, that it was illegal to operate as an independent or as a security company without the proper license. But we do find today those same issues, questions, and problems exist really across the country. So on this program today, we want to start by addressing what is a 1099? What is the legal definition? What is the real necessity for this form? According to the attorneys and the IRS, Internal Revenue Service, a 1099 is a series of documents. There are a number of different types of 1099s that can be issued. But like I said today, we do want to direct most of our comments and information toward those of you who might consider or might be actively involved as a subcontractor. So a 1099, according to the Internal Revenue Service, refers to an informational form. It's a document where information about revenue, payment, various types of income is recorded. And this information is regarding income other than a salary, other than a salary that your employer has paid you. If your employer pays you a weekly check or bi-weekly check, or you work for the government and they pay you once a month every 30-day cycle, then a 1099 is not issued. But if you have a side business, if you mow lawns and you're a hotel security agent by night and a lawn care person by day, then a 1099 would be, should be, and must be issued to you by each customer, because that is a secondary income not related to your employment. It's an income that you are deriving from a business. And we're going to go into the necessity, the legalities of business and what makes you a business here in a moment. But a 1099 is an IRS form used in this situation to record various types of income that you make during the year other than the salary that the employer pays you. The information about you individually, whether you are operating as an individual or a company, is recorded on that form. Your name, your address, your social security number, or tax ID, employer identification number, should be on that form. And it should be completed either at the time of payment or issued by the end of the tax year. So December 31st, you should have one of those forms from everyone who has paid you any type of income for any type of service. The 1099 is a form that tracks money that's being handed from one person to another for a service that they have performed. Now, this form, and we receive those forms ourselves whenever we do training and other services, this form is also part of the records of the company who's paying you for your service. The 1099, like I said, there's various forms that identifies proceeds. It also identifies gains. That's where the company has made money. And it's used for a number of things. But today, we just really want to talk about money. Money, 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 money that has been gone from one hand to your hand. The 1099 is used for miscellaneous income other than your job. It's used for recording commissions. If you are working as a sales rep for a company, or you're holding a house party, you're selling dietary, get slim fast products, you are selling candles, you're selling whatever, you're holding home parties or going out face to face, and you're selling on commission, then a 1099 would be issued to you because you're not an employee. At that point, you would be considered a subcontractor. It's really used for any side job or work done as a private contractor, as a business, a person, or a corporation. There are many different identifying times when a 1099 should be issued. And it goes into products and sale of property and all that. But again, today we want to stick to 1099s as they apply to somebody who is a contractor or a subcontractor. Who can it really be issued to? Well, if you're an individual, a company, or a corporation doing any type of business, service, I recently met somebody who did a very unique service on the side to make money. They worked in the management, but they were also a hairstylist. And so they had a business on the side where they took appointments. I even was going to have them come out to my home, but then I thought, what a mess. That hair would be all over the place, all over my rug and tile or whatever. And, you know, but this person did quite a business and was considering changing their job, going from management company to doing the hairstylist by appointment full time. They were doing so well. Well, that hairstylist would have to be issued a 1099. And they would have to report that as income. We, as a company, have gotten away from using individuals, subcontracting individuals, unless they either A, get a business license, which identifies them as a sole proprietor, that is someone who has not been incorporated, somebody who does not have a LLC, limited liability corporation, or an S corporation, or a C corporation. They are just independent. We won't really use people who don't have at least a sole proprietorship business license or some form of incorporation, because when you use the service of a person, an individual who is not licensed, does not have a corporation, you really run into several other legal factors, and we're going to discuss how you may even wind up having to pay for their taxes, insurance, Social Security, and even unemployment. Many people, such as doctors, dentists, veterinarians, lawyers, accountants, contractors, all sorts of professionals, are considered independent contractors. But those people don't necessarily have to be issued a 1099 unless it's outside of some normal realm of doing business at their location, at their office. According to the IRS, you are not an independent contractor. If, and it's very important to underline and emphasize the following information, because as I said in the beginning, there are many in the security industry who do work side jobs, under the table, as a subcontractor for other companies, and it's sometimes illegal. You are not an independent contractor if you perform services that can be controlled by the employer. If the employer says to you, Johnny, you've got to come in every day 8 to 5. Johnny, this is your schedule. It's 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. You're off on Mondays and Tuesdays. You're not a subcontractor because you're under the rule, under the authority, under the control of the employer. At that point, even if you had a business license, even if you were incorporated, you would be an employee, because a subcontractor is someone who can govern themselves. They can decide for themselves what time they will show up for work. If I contract with you for a training event, I determine the hours of that training event, not the client. We can talk about the hours, we can negotiate the hours depending on their needs, but they can't dictate that we will be there from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. We will work within their schedule, but again, this is something that we negotiate and then agree upon and then put it in writing in a contract form. If you are working for someone as a quote subcontractor, and they are dictating when and where and how and what for, and they even dictate when you take lunch, then you are not a subcontractor. And if you are an employer who has people working for you, whether in security or some other service industry, maybe drywall, roofing, whatever it might be, you can call them subcontractors all day long. But the fact is, they are employees. And I want you to clearly understand and identify what is being told to you, not by me, but by the federal government. It is much easier in this day and age for an employer to say all of my people are subcontractors because I don't want to pay insurance. $600, $700, $800 a month per person to have health insurance. I just can't afford it. I don't want to pay their taxes. I don't want to pay their social security. I don't want to be responsible for them if they mess up. It would be a whole lot easier for any employer not to have any direct employees and call everybody, no matter what their position, call them an independent contractor. But that's not the case. Just recently, I was told by a company owner that I know in Virginia, not a security company, but a different type of business, that they had been subcontracting several people, instructors actually, and they found out that because of certain technicalities, when this instructor no longer had a course to teach, that they filed for unemployment insurance. And they were granted unemployment insurance because the state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, found that the employer had an employer-employee relationship. That's why none of my companies will do business with people as subcontractors if they don't have at least a business license or be incorporated, which therefore cements the fact that they are a company unto themselves and we are doing business with a company, not an individual. And therefore, we don't have that employer-employee relationship. If you're an individual and you are doing some type of moonlighting, some type of work, it is important to understand what defines you as an independent contractor, a subcontractor, and a non-employee. Over the last 30 or 40 years, there have been many what some might call pyramid schemes that have arisen, and they recruit many people, tens of thousands, millions of people to be independent representatives, and those representatives go out and market and sell and push the product, the service, whatever it might be. I have worked with several. I have known many people who have sold Tupperware and numerous dietary get slim overnight products, and they are truly independent contractors. They sign a contract as such, but what makes them independent contractors is that the company that they are working for, XYZ Get Slim Overnight, does not make their schedule. They do not force them to work any certain days, hours, or, you know, tell them when to take a lunch break or when to take a day off. And that's what makes them an independent contractor. So if you are doing any type of work, whether it be security, lawn care, washing cars, whatever it might be, if you're working for someone who allows you to make your own schedule, allows you to work when you want to, you know, dictate your own time and so on and so forth, then you are generally going to be an independent contractor, a subcontractor. But there are a lot of problems with that as well. When an employer-employee relationship exists, there's a lot of regulation. There's a lot of taxes. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of things that have to be done. Many employers have to make payments on your behalf that you may not even be aware of. When the employer pays your Social Security, they also pay an additional part for you on your behalf that they never get back. They pay unemployment taxes in case you are laid off or you quit and go through a hearing and it's found in your favor and the employer has to pay. Well, they have already paid in advance a percentage. Employers also have to pay insurance for each employee, liability insurance, workers' comp insurance, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of payments made by employers that you may not be aware of. But if you're operating as an independent contractor, you're operating as a company unto yourself and representing yourself as a company, now you and you alone become responsible for those payments. And many people who are independent contractors do not report their wages in whole. They underreport if they report at all. And they don't have Social Security taken out, which means when you do get to the point of retirement, you're going to have a whole lot less money being paid to you by the unemployment because you didn't pay in. A lot of people think that unemployment is just going to be there, that it's something the federal government gives you. It's not. Unemployment comes, or Social Security, I should say. Social Security comes from you paying into it, your employer paying into it, and the interest that accrues through time with everyone's money into one big lump sum. But if you're not paying Social Security, you're not paying unemployment tax, then if you are unemployed or if you do go to retire, there's not any money there for you. Let's talk a little bit about when security officers can legally subcontract. When can they be an independent contractor? Because not every state allows it. I know, I've heard that they do, but they don't. If you are in a regulatory state that requires each security officer to be licensed, each security company to be licensed, then you cannot subcontract or be an independent contractor. Now, there are some regulatory states that only regulate contract security firms, and they don't regulate bouncers or proprietary in-house security. And if that's the case in your state, and you want to work independently as a bouncer, then you may be able to do that. But if you are in a regulatory state that requires that all security companies and all security officers, even proprietary and bouncers and in-house, be licensed and trained and regulated, then you are not able to subcontract or become an independent contractor. Neither can a security company, which we see this pretty often, subcontract their service to another security company. A couple of years ago, a security company advertised that they were a national company, that they were in every state, and what they were doing was getting contracts, subbing them out to other security companies licensed in that state. But then there was several legal issues and lawsuits and so forth, and the company quickly closed up, and the contracted security companies in those individual states were stuck. They were stuck with not getting paid. They were stuck with not being covered by the state. They actually were breaking the law, and some of them got penalized for breaking the law. So if you're in a regulatory state Neither the individual nor the company can subcontract services. Now, there may be a state or two that we're not familiar with that allows that. But even if they do, you will have liability issues because XYZ company has obtained the main contract. They sub it out to ABC company. When something happens and ABC gets injured, it's going to come back on their own workers' comp insurance. If there's a lawsuit, ABC company, the contracted company, will be liable. And the company who originally signed the contract will be pretty much scot-free. There's a lot of technical legal issues with subcontracting or acting as an independent contractor. Today, we really just want to address some of the main issues, some of the main problems. So let's talk a little bit more about liability. If you subcontract, become an independent, let's say at a nightclub and you're a bouncer, whether your state allows you to subcontract or not, let's say that you do, and let's say that you get hurt. Because you are an independent contractor, the nightclub is not responsible for your medical bills. They're not responsible for paying you any workers' compensation because you are independent. In other words, you are self-employed. They can walk away. They can never see you again, even if you're seriously injured. You would have to sue them in court and prove that they were negligent or otherwise caused a fraud to occur and schemed you. Nine times out of ten, you would lose. 1099s are important. If you are doing any type of work, if you are acting as an independent contractor, you're acting as a self-employed individual, make sure that you get those. Make sure that you are honest. Make sure that you record that income. Because if there's lawsuits or other situations, you know, companies are going to always say that you were not an employee. That whatever you did, you know, God forbid that you shot somebody at the nightclub or while acting as an independent security agent. The person who employed you is going to say they're not an employee. We don't have anything to do with them. We didn't tell them to do that. We didn't even know they had a gun. And, you know, they're a self-employed independent contractor, so we're out of the picture. They're not going to fess up that they told you to carry a weapon. They're not going to admit that they wanted you to do thus and so. And you are going to be out there alone. You're going to be hung out to dry, as they say, all by yourself. That's going to conclude this edition of On the Legal Side. This is today's topic, 1099. We encourage you to research for yourself on the IRS.gov website and be sure that you abide by the law and that you have all your ducks in a row and be safe out there because it's a wild world. Until the next time, God bless, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.